Welcome to Brains Matter, the podcast on science, curiosities, and general knowledge. I'm your host, just an ordinary guy.
All-time high and rising. Global warming threatens life as we know it on this planet. Our leaders have not committed to a plan of action on renewable energy. The food crisis is currently affecting 100 million people worldwide.
I love pop music, this is how we do it. Politics you can romance too.
Ah yes, I love pop music, just like Ben Lee does, and I love science songs in particular. That's right, the episode that a lot of you have contributed to and have been looking forward to, the show on songs that refer to science in some way, shape or form. Mark West from the Mr. Science Show and I collated a response from all of you and talked about what we found.
There's 6 billion people on this planet and not enough fresh drinking water.
G'day everyone and welcome to a very special edition of Brains Matter once again. It is the second co-produced show with the Mr. Science Show, and with me I have...
Mark West. Hello, greetings. My name's Mark West. Yes, this is the Mr. Science Show coming to you, well, not so live, but coming to you in conjunction with the Brains Matter Show. And this day we've got quite a special show, or at least we think it's quite special.
It's going to be very interesting, I think. A little while ago, we put out a call on the Brains Matter website and the Mr. Science Show blog and on our Facebook pages about scientific songs.
And we've got quite a few responses, and we came up with quite a few ourselves. So today we thought we might take a musical tour throughout the ages of science music. And there are a lot of good science songs out there. There are a lot of bad science songs out there as well, but there are a lot of good science songs out there. Mr. Ordinary Guy, do you have one that you might want to kick us off with?
Well, firstly, I'd just like to thank everybody for their responses. We're not going to get through every single person's response because there's just so many of them. I've got a list of over 140 songs here. What we're going to do is run through a list of some of the ones that we think are very interesting and worth talking about in some respect, but if you don't hear the song that you've suggested or there's other songs that you want to put down, go to the Mr. Science Show site and the Brains Matter site. We'll put down a list of all the songs that we don't mention, and you can feel free to add more onto there if you like. So how about we start with, let's go topic by topic, Mark, and how about we start with astronomy?
Been sick of us debating how we're here, they're catching deer.
We're catching viruses.
Religion or astronomy.
Descartes or Deuteronomy.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Music and mythology.
Einstein and astrology. It all started with the Big Bang.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Astronomy works for me because astronomy, I think, is possibly the biggest science music area. I think both your list and my list has, or probably almost half, would be astronomical songs. I mean, I'm not sure what my favourite one is, but I actually quite like Champagne Supernova by Oasis. That's not bad. Although the one that I quite like, because it's just become it's become the theme song of a TV show, which would be Life on Mars by David Bowie.
Oh man, look at those cavemen. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the oh man beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know. He's in the best-selling show. Is the life on?
And that is a brilliant TV show on the BBC. The Americans have done a version of it, and I've heard not so great things about the American version, unfortunately, despite the fact it's got Harvey Keitel in it.
Well, Life on Mars sort of raises some interesting sort of scientific topics, and I was having a browse around the internet today, and people have found that there is frozen water on Mars. There's ice, or most likely, and there's very good evidence that there was flowing water on Mars. But one of the things I didn't know is that they found trace amounts of methane in the atmosphere of Mars.
And it's not just Mars, it's also in Io, I think. It is one of the moons of Jupiter as well.
Oh, is that right?
They found evidence of methane also within Jupiter. And for those people who are fans of Carl Sagan, you would have heard about the balloon animals and so on. And I also cover the topic of astrobiology on a previous episode of Brains Matter. So those who haven't heard that yet, go back to it and you'll understand where I'm coming from here. Speaking of David Bowie, I've got a couple which have been suggested by Roger in Melbourne, which also fit the astronomy field. Starman by David Bowie and Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on.
Yeah, there's a great Flight of the Conchords. I don't know if you watched that show where they...
Brilliant show.
And it's great, yes, David Bowie floating around in space, which I think is brilliant.
I remember that one. I laughed my head off.
Yeah, well, I think the astronomy area is a fascinating one, and David Bowie's got it covered, but another man that's actually got it quite covered well these days is Muse. I mean, they've got a supermassive black hole, but they've got a whole album pretty much named after astronomical things. But also my favourite one, actually, because it's probably the most descriptive science song I know, is The Sun is a Mass of Incandescent Gas by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I had a listener suggest that one as well. That was a really good one.
Well, just one thing I do want to mention. The reason I mentioned methane in the atmosphere of Mars before is that because it's unstable. And which means that it must have a source in the planet Mars to keep it in the atmosphere. And it's estimated that Mars must produce 150 tonnes per year of methane, but asteroid impacts only account for about 0.8 of that percent.
So there's some internal mechanism at work.
There's some internal mechanism, and they're not sure whether it's because of microorganisms or any other such sources. So there you go, an interesting fact about methane on Mars.
So I've got a few other... planetary ones here, so I'll just do a very quick run through the planetary ones and then we'll talk about what constitutes a planet, which could be an interesting discussion. I've got Mercury by Liquido, which is a German band. Mercury by Area, which is a Japanese band. Venus by Air, Venus by Bananarama, and Venus by Shocking Blue. So the Bananarama and Shocking Blue song are the same, of course. For those Australians who remember back to 1999, there was a really cheesy pop song by Jackson Mendoza called Venus or Mars. Do you remember that one?
No, but I should. I love my late 90s pop music.
Oh, And also Planet Earth by Duran Duran.
Yes.
Way to Mars by Liquido, once again the German band. And Modest Mouse have a song called Third Planet.
Modest Mouse also have a song called Gravity Rides Everything. So, yes, they're kind of a strange band, probably science geeks themselves.
And Thomas Dolby, who was a self-professed geek, had the Flat Earth.
Well, he also had She Blinded Me With Science, but did you know an interesting fact about Thomas Dolby in that he invented the Nokia signature theme?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he invented the Nokia signature theme and now works in ringtones. So thanks, Thomas.
And going back to the whole thing about planets, what's your take on the eight planets and the minor planets we have and the trans-Neptunian objects or Kuiper Belt objects?
Well, yes, I think as sad as it is that Pluto has been demoted, yes, it's not a planet. It's formed differently. It doesn't...
Well, the thing is, if you consider it to be a planet, then we probably have over 30 planets.
Yes, that's right.
That we know of so far.
There might be some historical case for it because it's in a lot of textbooks, but no, unfortunately, I feel sad to see it go.
That's more of an emotional thing, though, Mark.
It is an emotional thing, yes.
The scientist in you knows why it's not.
You know, a song we didn't mention, actually, probably my favourite, and one we really should talk about because they're, you know, the founders of rock and roll, the Beatles, Across the Universe. Like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me.
I have that as the first one on my list, actually, Across the Universe by the Beatles.
Yes, we need that one.
And a couple of Pink Floyds, Eclipse by Pink Floyd and Astronomy Domain by Pink Floyd. And, of course, they were a bit of geeks themselves. They were one of the pioneers of the use of the V something or other synthesizers in their music. I forgot what it was called, but that led on to Moogs and so on. But I'm not much of a muso, so we'll have to talk about that another time. And speaking of pioneers of music, Kraftwerk. I'm going to mention them a few times tonight, but they had a song called Space Lab. And I don't know if you recall, but Skylab was the first, the International Space Station version alpha. And it was up there. NASA conducted a few experiments up there, put up in 1973. It came crashing down in 1979 in Western Australia, which is where I was living at the time. And there was a big fear that it would fall in Perth, or bits of it would anyway.
I remember hearing about that.
And I remember it got strewn across about 400 kilometres of Western Australia and people were finding bits of it and getting paid heaps of money to send it back to NASA.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, 1979. I don't really remember that very well. I was only alive for half of that year.
Counting sheep when your trying to sleep, being fair. When there's something to share, being neat. When you're folding a sheet. That's mathematics. When a ball bounces off of a wall, when you cook from a recipe book, when you know how much money you owe. That's mathematics. How much gold?
We spoke about Kraftwerk. It's probably a good time to bring up maths as a topic. And Kraftwerk have a song, which has to be the seminal maths song, called Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other the math songs that I could think of, I was trying to go through the try to just go through the numeric system, really. There's Zero by Smashing Pumpkins.
I've got that one, yes.
And did you know about Zero? The number Zero that we're accustomed to actually came into existence around 200 AD, and it was conceived by the Hindus in India.
Yep, I knew that one too.
Ah, well, I'll keep going and see what you don't know.
Okay.
They were the first to recognise a mathematical representation of the concept of no quantity.
So that, and people might think, well, why is that important? It's the difference between a non-existence and the existence, but a lack of something.
We both love our cricket, having a bat and scoring nothing and not batting at all.
Absolutely.
Differences. And once they invented zero, of course, the world sort of opened up, because now we've got our present system of writing numbers, so we can have zero in the tens column.
And, of course, our number system also comes from the Hindus.
Yes.
So the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the standard arithmetic that we use, there's actually what they call the Hindu sandbox method of multiplication, which predates the way we multiply today.
What fascinates me, I was listening to something the other day, and the Babylonians had 60 numbers that they used. And well, like ours is decimal, so 10, and they had 60.
And the Mayans, I think it was the Mayans, had base 20.
Which is fascinating. How did
they... So you've heard about the Mayan calendar expiring in 2012 and that's the end of the world and sort of thing. That's because their calendar is based on their calendar and number system is based on the number 20. So I think that 2012 going on the Mayan calendar equates to 19.19.19.19 or something like that, which ends up being equivalent to 2012. Oh. And the reason why everyone thinks that's going to, well, not everyone, but some people think that's going to be the end of the world is because it's like your odometer in the car. The next bit would be to reset all the figures to zero.
Interesting. Well, let's hope that in 2012 they're wrong.
And the other mathematics songs I've got is Arithmetic by Brooke Fraser, the New Zealand songstress.
I don't know that one.
Tom Lehrer, who has That's Mathematics and New Math.
New Math, yep.
You can't take 3 from 2, 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens, regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3, that's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5.
So he's American, so he says math instead of math.
Yeah, wrong.
And that's what I had for the maths category.
Oh, of course, you've got 1 by U2.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Yeah, and by, you know, recently by the late Johnny Cash. Got someone to blame. You said one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. It leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it.
And then you also had Johnny Farnham, or John Farnham, with One is the Loneliest Number.
One is the Loneliest Number, yeah. I was actually going to list that, but I don't have that in my collection, which is a surprise because I do have John Farnham in my collection, but I don't have that song.
Neither do I. So unfortunately, you won't be hearing a snippet of that.
In every living cell, there's a useful tool containing information in a molecule. Hip, hip, hooray for DNA. It provides the key to the plans for making everything in you and me. A single strand of DNA can alphabetically be sequenced by the letters A, C, T, and G.
So how about we go on to the topic of biology?
Well, I've only actually got two biology songs, one by a fantastic British girl band called Girls Aloud.
Girls Aloud, which is called Biology.
It's called Biology. And the other one, it loosely fits into biology, really. I don't really think it is biology, but Dr. Worm by They Might Be Giants. I don't even know if that's science, but it is an amusing song.
It is, and TMBG have got quite a few geeky, science-y kind of songs. I'll run through a bit of my list, and we can talk a bit about a couple of topics in there. There's Biological by Air, Heartbeat by Africanism, and, of course, Christian Barnard was the first person to pioneer the heart transplant.
Okay.
Who is also, coincidentally, South African.
Okay.
How's that for a perfect tie-in?
Lovely.
More Serotonin, Please by Apoptygma Berserk, which is a Norwegian band.
And that's not a dance song about, you know, the things that might increase your serotonin on the dance floor, is it?
No, they're actually, how do you describe them? More of a goth rock EBM kind of band.
Right, okay.
Evolution by RU Trance, and Evolution is probably a topic we can talk about till the cows come home. That's, of course, brought up a huge amount of controversy in the US with there's a documentary about the intelligent design movement over there. And maybe it's just me, but I don't understand why there's such opposition to scientific thought and scientific methods and well-understood and accepted bits of knowledge.
Well, yeah.
For the sake of a few religious nuts.
I don't know. I think it's one of these situations where people have just taken the extreme end and hate each other. And
But the thing is,
there's no dialogue there, so they're just fighting.
But the thing is, I know plenty of people who are very religious and also accept, and the Catholic Church recently accepted evolution as fact.
Yes. Well, I think, I'm not greatly religious myself, but yes, you need to, when new facts come to light, I guess you need to deal with them.
But I could also, going back to the Hindus as well, that's a religion that actually uses science as a basis of the religion. So that's the opposite end of the scale as well.
They do have multiple gods though, don't they?
They do. But did you know that they have 105 representations of the different gods, and they are supposed to represent the different stable elements.
Really?
Yep.
When did they come up with this list?
About 5,000 years ago.
That would be interesting to see. So are there gods like called Polonium?
No, nothing like that. They're different myths and things like that, but they actually, if you look in the Vedas and stuff, they got a description of Pythagoras' theorem, and this is like 2,000 years before Pythagoras and stuff like that. So it's actually quite fascinating from a historical perspective. You can argue about it one way or the other, but from a history and science perspective, it's actually very fascinating.
What was I reading the other day? Something like the Kabbalah News. or something like that, Kabbalah being made famous by Madonna. And it listed itself. It said Kabbalah is not a religion, it's a science. And then when I went on to read the rest of the newsletter, I was not convinced of that statement in any way. But yes, at least there's a religion embracing science.
That's good to hear. The next one I've got, you'll probably chuckle at this one as an Australian. Mental as Anything with Brain.
Mental as Anything. Great band. I don't know the song, though. Maybe I'm not patriotic enough.
You mentioned Muse before with Muscle Museum, REM with Electrolyte. The next one was actually a suggestion by a listener, Adam, The Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, okay. That's sort of scientific, I guess, procreation. It's evolutionary.
And, of course, how could we not mention Weird Al Yankovic with I Think I'm a Clone Now?
I haven't heard that. But
it's a takeoff of the Tommy James and remake by Tiffany of I Think I'm Alone Now.
Excellent. That's what we need. More remakes of Tiffany.
The big news about cloning, of course, was the misreporting of cloning of a human by that South Korean biologist. I forgot what his name was.
I'm not going to be able to say that without getting it wrong. I remember that it was almost 2 years ago, wasn't it, when he was...
It was about that, yeah, and then he got banned from his university and a few things like that, and the Koreans were very upset that he brought their country into disrepute.
Well, scientific fraud is actually something that's really been in the news, a lot recently, especially over here with this quadrant hoax.
Mm, that's right, yeah. There's a right-wing conservative magazine called The Quadrant, and there was a hoax for some CSIRO research that was put up. I think it was something about evolution. I scanned the article quickly, but I'll put a link to it on the website. All you listeners out there, have a look at it, have a bit of a chuckle.
That's right. The hoax was saying things like that CSIRO was putting human genes into...
That's right, yeah. It was about genetic manipulation and things like that and how it was immoral and...
Yeah.
Something or other like that.
It was an interesting hoax. I mean, I'm not fully cognizant of all the facts, so I don't really know enough to pass judgment. It seems pretty harsh, but then... conservative magazines that are sort of global warming denying revisionist type publications I don't hold a lot of sympathy for, so my natural tendency is to think it's funny as opposed to harsh.
Let's talk about one of your favorite areas, chemistry.
Chemistry. Well, there's of course the Elements song, or is that what it's called?
Yeah, The Elements by Tom Lehrer, and I think about five or six people mailed or commented on the website with that.
The
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium. There's yttrium, ytterbium, actinium, rubidium, and boron, gadolinium, niobium, iridium, and strontium, and silicon, and silver, and samarium, and bismuth, bromine, lithium, beryllium, and barium.
Which is a fantastic song, very funny.
Yeah, it goes through the whole periodic table, or the periodic table as it was when Tom Lehrer sang it. And for the Australians, there's Chemistry by Mondo Rock, and that was also another listener suggestion.
One of the fascinating things I find about songs about chemistry is sometimes they really, like the Bush song Glycerine. It's this heartfelt, powerful song, but it's about glycerine, an odorless, colorless, viscous liquid that's used in pharmaceuticals. I found some information about it today. It's classified by the FDA in America as a sugar alcohol, a caloric macronutrient. For the chemists out there, it has three hydroxyl groups, which is the OHs, and that's why it can dissolve in water. And it's sweet tasting, and it's not particularly toxic. And it's used as a filler in commercially prepared low-fat foods and as a thickening agent in liquors. So it doesn't seem to be the right sort of topic for a band like Bush to be, you know, singing these heartfelt songs to. It's bizarre.
Well, maybe they're just very passionate about their science.
Maybe they are. There is one chemistry song that we've both got on our list, which actually seems to make a bit more sense when you're talking about powerful music, although the version done by Nirvana is not all that powerful. It was angsty, I guess, and that's Lithium.
Lithium, and I also have a cover version of that song by Evanescence as well.
Well, they would do it quite powerfully. I mean, Lithium is a very reactive alkali metal. Enough to see you love me. I can't hold on to me. Wonder what's wrong with me. Lithium. Don't wanna lock me up inside. Lithium. Don't wanna forget how it feels. It's highly reactive. Corrodes in air, forms this black tarnish almost immediately if you can actually get it raw, and it doesn't exist in its elemental form on Earth because it's so reactive. Mm. It corrodes.
And you find it in stars that have passed the hydrogen and helium burning stage as well, and that's where it exists for a certain amount of time before it combines with other elements to form heavier stars.
Yes, that's right. Actually, and one more thing. It was first discovered, and this will be fascinating for everybody, in 1800 by the Brazilian scientist José Bonifácio de Andrade e Silva. And he discovered it in a Swedish iron mine on the island of Uto. And it was discovered in the form petalite, which is lithium aluminium silicate. So Okay. There you go.
I mentioned helium just before. I've got a song by Bypass Unit called Helium. One that I do want to mention, which is an Australian acid jazz funk Cuban style band, the Cat Empire. They've got this great song called Protons, Neutrons, Electrons.
Just give a smile and fly into the blue, because we're all just protons, neutrons, electrons that rest on a Sunday. Work on a Monday and someday soon we'll be singing the old tune. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-doo. I'll be sitting on the porch with you. Then I'll die and I'll fly off into the blue.
And what else have I got here? There's a couple of general chemical ones. So Chemical Brothers with Chemical Beats. Chemical Dreams by George, Chemical by New Order, Chemical Smile by Everclear.
Is there anything by the My Chemical Romance?
Yep. I've got a song by the Australian band The Hamptons called Atomize. Robotics. So I can't let this one go without mentioning Die Roboter by Kraftwerk. There was also an English version of that song called We Are the Robots.
Okay. Oh, well, my preferred robotic song would have to be Paranoid Android by Radiohead.
Ah, yes, I didn't have that one. I've got My Bionic Eyes by Liz Phair, which is robotics a little bit. There's Robot by the Futureheads and Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots by the Flaming Lips and Icon of Coil with Android.
Maybe it's the warmer climate, maybe I'm a smarter primate, maybe it's the beer I'm drinking, maybe I've stopped overthinking. Baby, you're the words and chapters, the sweetness in the morning after, you are the cry that turns to laughter.
One of the other areas that we were thinking about is climate. Have you got any climate or climate change songs?
I actually do have a few. There's, Snow Patrol, very popular band lately. They've been featured on Grey's Anatomy and a few other bits and pieces. They've got a song called Warmer Climate, so talking about climate change there. I put out a couple of podcasts for a public talk about sustainability and climate change from Tim Flannery towards the end of last year. There's a general consensus that climate change is happening. A lot of the naysayers say, no, I don't think so. But the evidence they point to, they say things like, well, not everyone agrees, but the people they tend to talk about who don't agree generally aren't climatologists. And I think if you have a look at Dr. Carl's website, he mentions a study where I think there was about a couple of thousand peer-reviewed journals by climatologists about climate change from 1973 to now, and they didn't find one that disagreed with the main contention that climate change is man-made and is happening. All the people you find are geologists or biologists or things like that, and you also see where people say, oh, this person's on the IPCC and they don't agree with it, but there's three levels of IPCC members. One is the lead author, so they're actually the people who do the writing. There are the contributors who add something to it, and then there's the reviewers, and most of the people who have said no who have been mentioned as IPCC members are the reviewers.
Well, one of the fascinating things about this whole, you know, the climate change skeptics is, I think it's okay to be skeptical in your life, and if you want, I think it's okay.
Absolutely. Question everything.
Well, I think it's fine to be skeptical about climate change. It's when it turns into perhaps the way that it affects your lifestyle. I mean, surely when it comes to something as important as climate change, the precautionary principle must apply. And even if there is only a very, very small chance that the polar ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to be underwater in 100 years, surely that's not a risk that I want to take.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a link I've put into episode 80 about this exact risk management. So the analogy I'll give to you, Mark, is we've got a rope bridge that we're about to cross and there's a ravine 100 metres down. The rope may or may not be stable, and I'm a bit of a greenie, and I say to you, because of the surroundings and the weather affecting everything, I don't think that rope is safe for you to cross. And someone else is saying, that rope's been there for 100 years. It's looked that wet before. It's happened plenty of times. There's been a few ice ages where it's been frozen over, but that rope is stable. Will you or will you not cross that rope?
What's on the other side? Yes, no, it's a good analogy. Well, no, of course not. I mean, I wouldn't take that risk. And that's what I find odd about all this, about these skeptics. And the other half of it is, surely we're better off in a world in which we're not burning coal and using up our resources. I mean, peak oil's not that far away. We'll run out of oil at some stage, maybe not even for a couple hundred years, say. Who knows? We might find more, but we will run out.
I think I would rather have a solar-powered energy source or wind-powered, which is going to be continuous and not run out and not have to worry about it.
That's right.
If I had a solar-powered car and didn't have to fill up every day, great.
Well, and the other, you know, and burning coal is dirty. You can make it as, you know, clean as you like. In the end, I'd still rather not be pumping out CO2 into the atmosphere, no matter what it's doing. Well, the other half of this, which really annoys me, is that we're going to, it happens in Australia a lot, especially with the last government, and it happens in the US, especially with the last government, is talking about jobs. And, you know, sure, people might lose jobs. People who burn, who, you know, stoke coal fires may lose their job. But how many, you know, jobs?
New jobs are going to be. This is a bit that annoys me a lot, because people say, oh, we can't stop logging in protected areas, or we can't stop, you know, mining for coal and coal power generation and stuff like that, because it'll lose jobs. Well, you might lose those jobs in the short term, but in the long term, surely there's going to be research that is required into other energy sources, the building and construction of those energy sources, the transport of those energy sources, the maintenance of those energy sources, the refinement of the efficiency of those energy sources. And I could go on, I have gone on a little bit, but I could go on and on about that. There are jobs in all of it.
And we're creating smart jobs too. I mean, I can think of stacks of graduate students, probably including myself, that would, I'd love to have the opportunity to tackle some of these problems. I just think it's fascinating. I mean, there's a fascinating future there if the world wishes to embrace it. I mean, I guess you've got to be realistic, and there are political issues, global issues and all the rest of it, but Australia, for one, you know, the Rudd government got in.
On a platform of...
On a platform of leading the world, and now all of a sudden our greenhouse targets are really...
dismal.
Really, it's really disappointing to hear this party that was so proactive when they were in opposition saying all these good things. Now, I don't know whether it's just political realities. I mean, some of that's probably true, but, you know, they voted in there not to cut greenhouse gases by 10% or whatever, or 5% or whatever it is.
Well, I knew a politician once, but he had to go find a bridge that he could double cross.
A rope bridge, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of pollution and stuff, there's a song, Pollution, by Tom Lehrer. Again, he's got quite a number of songs in today's list.
If you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware. Don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, they got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud.
Hybrid Car by the Sock Knockers.
I have a hybrid car. It's environmentally sound. I know that I am helping the world when I drive around. It's not like other hybrids. In fact, it's something fresh. Half of it runs on gasoline, and the other half on human flesh. It's my hybrid car, my hybrid car. It's more efficient than it seems. It's my hybrid car. The engine is so quiet, you can always hear the screams. People who know are often upset and respond with shock and fear. But they don't complain when the lines disappear at the latest movie premieres. I don't have to spend much money on gasoline or wait in many lines. Compared to gas, flesh is clean and people are easier to find. It's my hybrid car, my hybrid car. I get 100 miles to the adult. It's my hybrid car, my hybrid car. 150 if they're pregnant.
Electrical Storm by U2, and the perennial favourite, especially for Melbourne people, by Cry of the House, because it was written about Melbourne, Four Seasons in One Day.
Seasons in one day, lying in the depths of your imagination, worlds above and worlds below. The sun shines on the black clouds hanging over the domain. Even when you're feeling
that could be about Melbourne, couldn't it?
I'm sure it's about plenty of cities around the world. Okay, so how about we go to the topic of health, Mark?
Well, how about Ben Lee, Australian artist, he may even be from Sydney, Cigarettes Will Kill You.
That's a fabulous song. I don't think he actually sings that in the song, but great, great title.
No, I don't think he does, actually. I'm just thinking back on it right now. It that's the song. Yeah, no, I don't think he does sing it. He does sing Running With Scissors, which I guess could be a health issue.
I think it is. This topic is one that I guess throughout the 50s and 60s has been at the forefront of health and advertising, because there was a lot of tobacco advertising for years, and you and I, both being cricket fans, remember a World Series Cup presented by a particular cigarette brand.
Yeah, we don't endorse any cigarette companies here.
I was reading somewhere about how a lot of these cigarette companies would put a lot of money towards particular research as long as it had a favourable outcome to them. So they would actually lobby governments with research opposing what was accepted research at the time to say, look, these scientists disagree, and therefore that whole thing just snowballed for years and years until finally in the 80s a lot of governments just said, no, enough.
There's a fascinating movie kind of about that called Thank You for Smoking. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's got Aaron Eckhart in it, who plays Two-Face in the new Batman film. Fascinating. He's a spokesman for cigarette companies, and it's his job to be a positive spokesman for cigarette companies. It's fascinating. He forms a trio. He has regular lunches. He calls themselves the Merchants of Death.
Okay, one that I've got, which was a suggestion by Hunter in Melbourne, was Frontier Psychiatry by the Avalanches.
The Avalanches, great Aussie band.
Mr. Kirk, Dexter's in school.
I'm afraid he's not, Miss Fishmore. Dexter's truancy problem is way out of hand. The Baltimore County School Board have decided to expel Dexter from the entire public school system.
Oh, Mr. Kirk, I'm as upset as you to learn Dexter's 2 and 3. But surely expulsion is not the answer.
I'm afraid expulsion is the only answer. It is the opinion of the entire staff that Dexter is criminally insane.
That boy needs therapy.
Psychosomatic.
That boy needs therapy.
Purely psychosomatic.
That boy needs therapy.
Lying down on the couch.
What does that mean?
You're a nut. You're crazy in the coconut.
What does that mean? That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill you.
That boy needs therapy.
Granny Gazoo, let's have it, you. I want to count three.
That boy needs therapy.
He was white as a sheep.
And he also made false teeth.
Yeah, great song too.
He's a nut.
And one from, if you're a bit of an 80s fan, Madness with Cardiac Arrest.
Madness. The only Madness song I know is It Must Be Love.
Welcome to the House of Fun.
Oh, yeah, I know that song too.
Thank you.
go on to physics, which is one of my favourite topics apart from astronomy.
In terms of physics, I think I had a few sort of astronomy ones sort of cover the physics. I guess Gravity Rides Everything by Modest Mouse is a bit of a physics physics topic.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Rocket Man by Elton John uses physics.
Yes. So Rocket Man by Elton John was also remade by Kate Bush.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've got Electricity by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Sigma and Berserk also do a version of it. The Speed of Sound by Coldplay.
Yes.
Radio by The Corrs.
Anything by Radiohead.
UV Ray by Jesus and Mary Chain.
I don't know that one.
Joy Division with Transmission.
Okay.
Electric by Lisa Scott Lee. Hydroelectric by MDFMK. Faster Than Light by Neil Finn, ex Crowder House and ex Split Ends. Let's talk about that one for a minute. Faster Than Light. We've all heard the formula E equals MC squared. C is the speed of light, which is 3 by 10 to the 8 metres per second. It is a constant. Nothing can go faster than the speed of light. And just going very briefly on the topic of relativity, a lot of people say, but what happens if I'm on a train and the train is going, say, at 90% the speed of light? It's a very fast train in the future. And I turn on a flashlight. The light from that globe on the flashlight will be going at the speed of light. What about to someone outside the train? Because normally if I'm in a car going at 100 kilometres an hour and you throw something forward at 5 kilometres an hour to an outside observer, it looks like that projectile is moving at 105 because you add the two. If you're going at 90% the speed of light and you turn on a torch, does that mean that that torch beam to an outside observer is going to look like it's going 1.9 times the speed of light? The answer is no. And if you want to find out some more detailed reasons about that, about why that is the case, you can thank Mr. Einstein for that. He formulated the theory of relativity, general relativity and special relativity. And to the outside observer, that beam of light will still be going at the speed of light. It sounds kind of counterintuitive. But if you want to hear a bit more of an explanation about that, go back to the interview with Dr. Adrian Gentle on the Brains Matter website, and you'll hear a bit of a conversation about general and special relativity.
Well, the easiest way to comprehend that is to not really try.
Oh, that's the other way to do it too.
Yeah.
If you think about that in itself and consider the very simple adding and subtracting of speeds, I remember, do you remember the movie Young Einstein?
Yes.
With Yahoo Sirius in it?
Quality movie.
There was a bit in that movie where he talked about time standing still, and this is when he falls in love with, I forgot the name of the character he fell in love with.
Doesn't he fall in love with, like, Marie Curie or somebody in the movie?
It was something like that, yeah. And they had Ken Rutherford and a few other guys as his friends in the mental hospital. But he was talking in a very romantic way to, let's say it's Marie Curie, and he wanted the moment to last forever, and he goes, time comes to us from that clock at the speed of light. If we travel away from that clock at the speed of light, time would appear to stand still. This moment would last forever. So you can see where that logic comes in.
Well, unfortunately, I guess, yeah, because of relativity, he's not really correct, is he?
No, but it's nice for a simple bit of entertainment, though.
Well, you bring in all sorts of factors like time dilation. Yeah, there is one. They have found. There is one way of traveling faster than the speed of light. It's kind of a bit of a trick, but that's slowing light down. I mean, light travels slower in a solid than it does in a vacuum. So yes. You can have information pass quicker than light does in a particular medium, which is interesting.
And that's the teleportation that they're talking about, where a photon appears at another point in space with the same spin and information. And they've done some research on that. They can't actually transport anything physical yet, but they've actually managed to transport a photon, and it appears to go faster than the speed of light.
Well, that's a very new development about entangled particles. And particles being entangled, even if you take one and you somehow transport it a million kilometres away, it still is affected. You change one, you change the other, like when it comes to spin and properties like that, which is fascinating because...
I think you have to delve into string theory to understand that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the theory seems to be that they react to each other instantly.
Yeah. You know, they, like you said, they're tangled. They somehow possess the information of what the other tangled object has, and I don't understand that.
No, I don't understand that either, but I know one of the things that they've spoken about, or they, and this is the great mass of scientists, is that with time travel experiments and things like that, which are based around the idea of light being able to travel faster than light, you're not able, at least in these situations with entangled particles, you can't travel back to a time before the experiment began. So I know that they've been able to do. There are some odd.
This sounds a bit like Quantum Leap, where Sam Beckett, the main character, could travel anywhere within the time when his lifetime started to his death. I guess it was, and that was very similar to when the experiment starts.
Yeah, it's that type of idea. But I guess we've never met anyone from the future, or at least we don't know it yet. So that's kind of an interesting thought, really. I mean, maybe it just can never happen.
And we were speaking about light just before. I've got one by the Flaming Lips called What is the Light?
Okay.
What is the light? Is it a wave or is it a particle?
Oh, now we're going back to our high school physics. Well, it's both.
It's both. So that's how the photoelectric effect works, which is what Einstein won his Nobel Prize for, rather than the relativity, oddly enough. And it is also a wave. So if you've done the double slit experiment, you pass light through a very thin slit and you put two slits together and you see a diffraction pattern on the wall, because that is the waves interfering with each other.
It's the wave property, yeah. It's fascinating when you get down to that level, because it's difficult for us mere humans to understand, really, because it's not part of our everyday experience. Talking about evolution, we are just simply not evolved to naturally understand that sort of thing.
A couple of others. I've got Ohm Sweet Ohm, OHM, so that's Resistance by Apop B and OMD again. Dynamite by Jamiroquai. And how is that related to physics? Because, well, apart from the explosive effects and things like that, do you know who invented dynamite?
Yes, but I can't remember.
Alfred Nobel. And he, of course, gave us the Nobel Prizes.
Yes, that's right.
And the reasoning for him having the Nobel Prizes was to better the world and make it peaceful, because he thought that dynamite was being misused for the wrong purposes.
Well, yes, that's good. I mean, you can say the same things about, you know, atom bombs.
And speaking of atom bombs, Smashing Pumpkins with Here's to the Atom Bomb. And Rebecca's Empire with Atomic Electric.
One in a million. That's what I tell myself. Oh, Atomic Electric. This feeling it comes and goes. Did you know?
That's a good song.
That is a good song. They only put out two albums, but I actually saw Rebecca's Empire live back when they were around, and I thought they were very good.
There's always the band Atomic Kitten as well.
I haven't seen them, and I didn't really have plans on doing that.
And so now we've dealt with a lot of topics, but there are some sort of miscellaneous topics.
Yeah, so some general songs.
Thank you.
how can we not mention She Blinded Me With Science by Thomas Dolby? You've mentioned it before. It was the theme song to your show earlier. That is, to me, one of the quintessential classic science songs.
Geeky, nerdy, and about science. Beautiful.
And there's a couple that I put in that class. There's that Weird Science by Oingo Boingo.
Yep.
More recently, The Scientist by Coldplay, but I prefer the Amy Mann version, and actually all of these songs have been suggested by listeners as well. There's also the Dandy Warhols with I Am a Scientist, but I think that's been overplayed lately.
It was the Diffusion theme song until we got sick of it as well.
I think it's been a theme song to about six or seven other podcasts I've heard. It's just, yeah, I'm a bit over it at the moment. There's only the first 8,000 times a year, it's fine. After that, it gets a bit...
That's right.
A couple of others I've got is March the Mad Scientist by Jethro Tull.
I don't know. I know Jethro Tull.
Devin Anderson with Pop Science.
Right.
Einstein on the Beach by The Counting Crows.
Right.
Liquido with Game Boy, which is a bit of a general geeky...
Yes, it's a good geeky song.
Spiderbait, great Aussie band with Laptop Jam.
Right.
And The Wigs with Technology. Okay, well, that's been a fascinating list. We've covered plenty of songs, and there are plenty more that we haven't covered. So go to our respective websites, www.brainsmatter.com and
www.mrscienceshow.com.
And go there, you'll see the unedited full lists of what we've mentioned and what we haven't mentioned on there. And if you have any more, by all means, comment and leave your thoughts. So,
and make sure you listen to both versions of this MP3 because they'll probably reflect on our different tastes in music.
Mark West, the Troy McClure of science, thank you very much for your time.
I'm liking this description, the Troy McClure of science. I don't know what that means about my abilities in science, but I guess you think I have a nice voice, which is nice.
Well, that's what counts, doesn't it?
And Mr. Ordinary Guy, the... goodness... the ordinary guy of science.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you've all enjoyed listening to the show. So until next time, it's bye from me.
And it's bye from me.
And a big thank you to everyone who contributed. I hope you enjoyed listening to the show just as much as I did doing it. Also, a big thank you to Glenn from Modular Music for permission to use the full songs from his label as opposed to the shorter stints from the other labels. I'll leave you with an old Chinese proverb. A bird does not sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. Bye for now.